The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Critical hit Punch Hall Nazis takes place in the early days of World War II and combines high adventure with cosmic horror. All dates, locations, and historical events are thrown out the window in order to create a fun story, so don't put too much thought into historical inaccuracies. All accents are done poorly, but with love, and no disrespect is intended. Last time
on Critical Hit.
I have an excellent idea.
I wonder what Dr. Yu would have to say about that, since you just treated a snake bite.
As soon as you turn away, you see that the church is filled with dead mice. Valentino, you turn around and you are face to face with a miner. But this miner is not fully there. Bits and pieces of his face are missing. He's his cheeks are sunken in. You can see teeth sticking out through holes in his skin. One eye is hanging loose. He's got a miner's cap on, and he's wearing very dirty coveralls and boots. And he's just standing in front of you.
Hello.
Hello. Are you waiting to get in line too?
No. I was looking for someone.
Who are you looking for?
Is there anyone here by the name of Mario?
The deceased miner in front of you turns around, and there are, I don't know how the church can hold so many bodies, but there appear to be thousands of miners, all in the same ruddy shape and beat up shape as the one you're talking to, standing there all staring at
anyone named Mario. No, no one named Mario here. He probably already went through.
I see. Well, I'll leave you all back to your line. Thank you. I'll go ahead and take the mask off.
What happened?
And they disappear.
Kind of blinking there for a bit. There's a good number of souls here, apparently.
What did you ask?
Oh, you're not here, Matthew. Remember, your character has stepped out with Billy Ray.
Did they tell you anything?
I asked if Mario would be here, and they said no one was there by the name. They may have gone through already.
Oh, gone through?
Yeah, I guess they're in line to pass on, I suppose.
Oh. Did you ask about a Whitmore?
I did not. I guess I could see if I could... All right, I avert my gaze from the front and put the mask back on.
Now there is a big, heavy-set, burly, decaying miner in front of you.
Hey there, big guy. Sorry to bother you all again. Is there a Whitmore here?
Oh, Whitmore. Yeah, there's a Whitmore around here somewhere. Hey, you Whitmore. Get on up here.
And there comes an old miner, and he stumbles up.
I'm Jose Whitmore. What can I do for you?
Charmed. We heard that you had found an interesting stone in Shaft 13.
No, that was my brother. William Whitmore.
Is he around here at all?
And he turns around. Bill, are you still here? Bill, I think he done pass on.
I see. I don't suppose he would have mentioned how exactly he found the stone?
Yeah, he did. Digging in the mine before this, when I had the cholera back in 1913. It's a good protection stone.
I see. Any advice on where specifically in the shaft to find it?
Down.
Real deep. All right. Well, see what we can do.
And the big burly miner that was standing into you just like walks right through you, Valentino.
Chilly. Okay. Well, thank y'all again. Take the mask back off.
No problem.
Perhaps. So apparently Bill Whitmore, who found the stone, wasn't available, but his brother said is deep in Shaft 13. He really wasn't able to give me much more specifics beyond that.
I mean, that's something. It's a second bit of confirmation, especially since Clyde's family told us 10 first and then 13, so confirmation that it's 13 is good, at least.
Well, I mean, I suppose I actually said 13, but they didn't correct her. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we walked around this place, and we think that the luminaries probably built it back in the day. On the cornerstone. But I don't know if there's anything else here to find.
The church does appear to be empty right
now. Yeah. Might as well have a look around.
Right. What specifically are you looking for?
Probably either downward leading stairs or like, you know, secret passages, hollow walls and floors.
Okay. Well, do a, I guess you're going to have to do a D2 observation and insight to see if you can find any hidden stuffs.
Be able to help out with that?
Sure, you can assist. Yes.
Remind me how assisting in this game works again.
So you can roll, but you only get to roll one die instead of two dice. On the same observation and insight. And if you get a success, it helps towards the success of the main person rolling. You roll first, and then Rodrigo would roll. If I'm remembering that correctly, that is how that works.
I'll take a momentum, too.
Okay.
I'm hoping you're remembering that correctly, because I've played like four systems since the last time we played.
Yeah.
I have
I'm pretty
no
sure
idea
that
what's
that's
going on other than like the baseline of some
yeah,
of this stuff.
Right I'm pretty now. Sure that that's the way the assist goes.
Hey,
you
I
got
assisted.
One success. Okay, you did assist. And Rodrigo got two successes, so that is three successes total. You only needed two. And so you get one momentum back. And you start poking around. I'm guessing you guys are like stomping on floors.
Knocking on main walls.
Yeah, the main area of the church has stone flooring. And it seems fairly solid in places. Some of you are banging on the walls. This is very thick stone, right? There's like,
yeah,
this is the same stone that's on the outside of the church. So these are very thick walls. As you get towards the back area of the church where the priest or the preacher would be, you know, waiting before the church service begins, you do step on a fairly loose stone. When you step on it hard, you can kind of feel it wiggle just a little bit. Now, this is not a big stone. It is maybe a foot and a half by a foot and a half square, but it's relatively loose.
I'll try to grab it and lift it off.
Yeah, you're able to. You're going to have to get out like your knife or something. You have to pry some of the mortar out, and you are able to pry it up. And underneath is a light layer of dirt, of earth, that you see right underneath that.
I will pat the dirt.
Yeah, you pat the dirt, and you can feel like this earth has been, tamped down over the centuries with this stone on top. But you do notice that as you poke at it with your penknife, that some areas of the dirt are loose, and then you start to hit something that has a lot more resistance to it.
Oh, well, I dig out some of the dirt to see what that is.
Yeah, there's something wrapped in leather.
I try to pull it out.
Yes, you pull it out, and it is, again, it is a package wrapped in leather. It is probably, 4.5 inches by 8 inches or 5 by 8 inches, something like that.
Open it.
Yeah, you open it, and a very old book is there. It is in bad shape. While the book may have been underneath this stone and wrapped in leather, the grounds in these parts are, fairly moist. And so over the years, it has sucked up a lot of moisture, and the book has decayed. On the cover, you can make out what looks like a circle with a dot and a cross on top.
Okay.
I think there's a song from Oklahoma about that.
Yep. The cowman and the secret cultist should be friends.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll carefully set the book down. I'm guessing there's this being a church is probably lecterns.
Oh yeah. Yep.
So
you could even set it in a pew if you wanted.
Yeah, just to have it set down, and we'll very carefully open it and start going through the pages of it.
Sure. So the very first page is dated October 31st, 1549. Our Lord has commanded us to take the artifacts and stop the wizard from opening the gate. By his command, we have gathered and called ourselves luminaries, and we are setting forth with this task with haste. And of course, this is a translation from, this looks like German, maybe? You speak German, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it looks like this is German.
Okay, so even back in those days, the luminaries were an international organization. It's not like they were all Belgians. Although I guess if they were Belgians, maybe they spoke German. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you've met an Italian group. You've met a Belgian group. So maybe.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I don't know if they all originated from one place if they were already a cosmopolitan organization.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. You don't have to roll a check on this, but from the children's book. Mm-hmm. That this group was organized specifically to put the sorcerer or the wizard down. So they probably could have come from many places. I mean,
sure.
They were put together by rich Medici's patrons put the group together. That's what you've gathered from the children's book and from research done by the Section M.
Yeah, I mean, Europe is tiny.
Yeah. I mean, comparative.
Yeah.
We love you, Europe. Even you, Europe.
Liechtenstein.
So yeah, that's what you can see on this first page, but it's pretty messy. It's got some mold spots here and there. Water damage, parts of the pages are missing.
Okay. Do I think that if I keep going through it, it's going to start falling apart?
Maybe. It's hard to tell. This is a very damaged book. Why don't you roll we need to roll a insight plus academia. We'll make this a D1.
I'll spend a momentum.
Okay. Hey, two successes. Very good. Yeah, this book is in pretty bad shape. It is holding up well because the binding of the book is leather, but you can tell at least some of the strings have been broken that are binding the pages together. There are pages that do look like they're going to crumble. but also the book has a dampness to it that, you know, perhaps if you were able to dry it out over the course of slowly over the course of several weeks, you might be able to go further into the book. Although you could probably turn a page or two, you would have to be very, very careful if you do that. You would probably have to do an agility plus, I don't know, athletics or academia to test to make sure that you're being careful with the book.
Yeah. I mean, this book is probably would probably be immediately useful to this, but mm-hmm. if it's like threatening to fall apart, like we might as well try and like take care of it.
Okay.
So Dutch will say, well, this book is about to fall apart. So let's try and see if we can fix it a bit before going through it. So he'll put it back in its casing.
Okay.
Or in the leather wrapping.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he'll say, I'm going to take this back to our current headquarters with the Bureau.
Sounds like a good plan.
Reasonable.
You start to hear a door open in the back of the church.
Okay.
There's a stone on the floor.
Yeah, I'll move the stone
with dirt
back.
Everywhere. All right, so let's see if you can do it fast enough. Let's do an agility plus athletics. D1.
Yeah, help out with that.
Sure.
You get the stone, I'll get the dirt.
Yeah, it's up to you two.
So, Brian, you roll first.
Right.
Brian has zero successes. Oh, no, that's
me.
Okay, so, go ahead. Okay, so Brian helped you out, and you guys were able to get the success that you needed. Very quickly, as soon as you hear the of the door start to open, you both rush over, and Valentino is kicking dirt back into the place and tamping it down. And Dutch, you kind of move that stone and slide it into place, and you take some of the other dirt and you kind of pack it down into the edges of the stone to kind of make it look like the grout that would be there. And as you're putting in the last little piece, two black shoes step right into your line of sight from where you're at on the ground. Those black shoes are attached to a pair of black pants.
Okay. I'll get my saxophone out and keep going up.
You keep looking up and you realize that, this is Reverend Good that you saw in the food place, the cafe, the other day. Well, hello, boys. I see y'all's down on your knees praying. May I be offering some comfort to you?
Yes, thank you.
What kind of blessings do you need?
What do you usually bless the miners when they go down into the mine?
Sure, we got a blessing for that. And he looks at you, Blisco, who's still standing.
Oh, follow suit.
Okay, so all three of you are kneeling down. The Reverend reaches into his pocket and pulls out a little prayer book. Dear Lord, these souls may already be lost to you, but they are not lost to us. As they descend into the depths of the fiery earth, please protect them and bring them home safely so they may live out their poor, miserable days here with the rest of us. Amen.
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 Protestants. Amen.
Well, have you boys seen my son, Billy Ray, around here? He's supposed to be working. That lazy good for nothing.
He very kindly offered to give one of our friends a tour of this of like the downtown of the town. So I think they'll be back soon.
Oh, really? That's concerning. If you'll excuse me, and he kind of rushes past you out the front doors and is gone.
Thank you.
Hey, we should also take our leave.
Yeah. Does this place have any sort of like general store?
The town? Yes.
Okay. Is it like within the same area, or would we have to like get into a car and go there?
Oh, no. This town's relatively small. It's going to be like, it's probably going to be easily spotted from when you walk out of the, out of the
church.
Okay. And sure enough, as you're walking out of the church, up comes Doc. And Doc, what happened when Reverend DeGood came up onto you and Billy Ray?
He was like, "Hey, how's it going?" I honestly don't remember. Was there something that happened, or am I making this up?
No,
I'm trying to figure out what happened, because the preacher ran out of the church looking somewhat distressed and angry, and and then came upon you two doing whatever you two was doing.
Is he distressed? He's probably going to yell.
He's distressed. Yeah,
he's going to yell at his son. He's going to yell at me. What are you doing, stranger? Why have you stolen my son? He's supposed to be chipping away other people's religion.
I don't think he would say that. He probably would say something to the effect, "He's cleansing the church, and you are interrupting his most holy works." And then he yells, Billy Ray, "Get on back there, Billy Ray."
Six of one, half a dozen of the other, really.
And then you remember before the preacher left, he looked at you and said, "You'd be best staying away from my son. He's nothing but trouble." And then just kind of gives you an evil eye look as he stomps away.
Well, that was odd.
Yep. Hey, look, there's the rest of the gang. Hey, gang.
Hey, Doc, how was the walk?
Very distracting until the Reverend showed up and started shouting. But I felt like we had a good talk, he and I. You guys learn anything?
Well, Dutch found a book.
Another book?
What's in another book? What's this one? I'm not quite sure yet. It's in a pretty delicate state.
Where do you find it? Was it?
Oh, well, we found it under some stones in the church.
Oh. Yeah, that's not going to be good.
Yeah, the luminaries are fun. I mean, it's like, what's the point of a globetrotting adventure if you're not finding secret passages and hidden tomes, right?
Yeah, but 400 years in the wet Kentucky ground, not going to be good.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I want to go to the general store and see if we can get some supplies to dry this book.
Do I know anything that might dry a book?
Baking soda, you know, hanging it by the fire, you know, those kind of things.
Hanging it by the fire seems like it might also be a good way to burn a book, and
it depends on how far away. If it's full of damp, then it's not going to burn right away. It needs to dry out and get really dry before it would catch, even at a good foot and a half, 2 feet.
Yeah, but I'd like to leave it drying, so probably more
like a gas stove or something, or you know, some kind of stove might be a way to dry it out.
Is there a way to get maybe some paper to stick in between the pages to try to soak up some of that moisture? I don't know that
the general store has something.
Yeah. So I don't know, but it's clearly anthropologists must have some way of curating a book so that it doesn't fall apart.
Yeah, it's literally hoping to get it to be as dry as possible.
Yeah.
And then being very, very careful.
Put it in an enclosed space with baking soda or...
Yeah, with rice. Sticking in a bag of rice.
Yeah. Yep, bag of rice.
Something that will absorb all the moisture.
Yeah, so look, over there, there's a general store.
Yep. We'll go into the general store.
Little ding, ding, ding. The bell rings as you enter the store. This is a poor store. It's got it's got shelves, but the shelves are sparsely stocked. There are all sorts of things in this general store, from baking goods and general goods. And maybe there's a sacks of flour in the back.
Yeah.
Behind the front counter is a elderly woman. She's got a pair of glasses on and her hair is pulled back into a bun. It's got grays all over it. She's got what looks like a dress made out of some of those flour sacks from the back of the room. And she's got an apron tied around her waist. And she's kind of leaning on the counter. It's like, "Welcome, boys. Let me know if you needs anything."
I feel like I recognize her face.
Yeah. Haunting familiar. Do you have any rice?
No, we don't have no rice here. We got corn, we got barley, we got wheat, but rice, we does not really grow well around here.
Okay, all right. I'll look around and see if there's anything.
You see some stationary goods. You see baking soda certainly is here.
Yeah.
You can find pretty much anything that you might need supply-wise. There's some hair product. Oh, look, there's a new can, a bright, shiny can of your pomade.
Oh, nice.
Fop. How about cornstarch, ma'am? You got any cornstarch?
Oh, yeah, it's right up there. Blue cornstarch. Here you go. She sets it on the counter. That'll be 10 cents.
Yep, we'll get all that.
All right, so the total is $2.
Okay. What brings you boys around here? I don't think I've seen you here.
We were in the army with a gentleman from here. He died, and so we came to...
Oh, Theodore Whitmore. Yeah, I heard about that. That's so sad. That is so, so sad what happened to them.
So we finally had some... what would I call it? What would they call that? Like R&R or like just what's it called leave. When you're not deployed? Yeah, some leave. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we finally got some leave and we were able to come and pay our respects to the family.
Yeah, that's mighty nice of you. I know they've had some troubles lately with the revenuers and of course the bank closing, all the things going on around town. Yeah, they've just had a bad time. So it's good that you're here.
Yeah, it sounds pretty rough.
Yeah, it's been rough for everybody. Rough for everybody, and she looks around the store and looks at the shelves that are basically bare. Where are you boys staying or heading to next?
We just looked at your wonderful church.
It's been here forever.
Yeah, we saw.
I know Reverend DeGood's trying to make it a right Christian place, but I always liked it the way it was.
Yeah, it's got some personality, huh?
Yes. Nobody knows where it came from, though. It was just here.
Oh. Yeah, that's interesting. That's a good tidbit. Maybe if more people around the area knew that, they would come by to check it out at least. Spend some money in town. Maybe, but it sounds like the Reverend doesn't want the novelty of the church to be what people come to see. He wants it to be a...
Oh, yeah. He's trying to convert everybody. Saving our souls, that's what he's doing. That's what he's telling us. He's saving our souls. Yes, sir.
Sure.
Is there anything else I can help you with?
I don't think so. You have a good day.
Thank you.
And right about that time, you hear a big, like, whistle going off coming from the mining company, the Underhill Mining Company. This is the noon whistle for people to take lunch.
I'm going to guess lunch is probably an hour or less, so that's not going to give us enough time to, like, figure out which mine shaft it is and get down there when people are out. So let's take the book back, set it up to dry, and then do we go check out the newspaper office, or did we already get... all the information we felt we were going to get from talking to the newspaper person.
Did we actually get in the office or did we just...
We just talked to the main reporter / editor / owner.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. He's the only one running the newspaper now. So,
that might've been all the information we get, but, we did see that, Is it like the newspaper itself has a luminary symbol?
It's part of the Fresnel lens of the lantern.
Right. Right.
Or I'm sorry, the beacon.
Right. So yeah, we didn't really talk to him about that specifically. So if we like, he might be affiliated with the Luminaries and putting it there, or it might be some sort of legacy thing that he doesn't know about but continues to replicate. So I'd like to look at in the newspaper office as well.
Okay. So you're having this conversation as you're walking back down the street to the home that the FBI agents have have been renting. And as you approach, you can see that their truck is still there parked in front.
Oh, I guess they're sleeping in. I'll knock on the door.
There is no response.
Yeah, go in.
Yeah, the house is very quiet. You're all standing in the living room area. Down the hallway, there are two doors going off to bedrooms and a door going to a bathroom. And then the other way is the way to the kitchen.
Jones. Blake.
There is no response.
Okay. There is no way that they're that exhausted from it. Dutch will be like, hey, do you guys mind, like draw straws to see who, like, busts into that room? I'm going to start setting up the book here to try.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yeah, each of you roll D20, one D20. Just roll a one D20. Okay. Lowest is the loser.
Yeah.
Lisko gets a 10. Valentino gets a 4. Doc gets a 17. Congratulations, Brian. All right, Valentino, you need to go check out the rooms.
All right. Walk down the hall, knock on the door.
You go quietly? Do you go quietly or do you go with purpose?
No, I'm going with purpose. Maybe even.
All right, you go down. You knock on the door. No response.
Hey, this is Valentino. I'm going to open the door here.
There is no response. This is clearly Agent Blake's room, and the covers are messed up, and there are clothes on the floor, but there are no bodies in this room.
Okay. I'll go check Jones's. Coming in. Open it up.
You open the door, and this room has not been slept in. It's a very neat and tidy room, but there is nobody in here.
All right. I'll go back to the kitchen and say, I guess they must have slipped out at some point, maybe.
What? Did they take all their stuff?
No. There's still some clothes on the floor in there, but hopefully they had a change.
Was it the clothes they were wearing?
I believe the day
before. Yeah, it looks like the clothes that they were wearing the day before, yeah.
Yeah, so they could have just not picked that up. And, like, I'm just like, they didn't, like, pack up and leave.
Don't look it.
I mean, their truck is still parked out front.
Yeah.
So what do you guys remember? What do you remember the last thing when you guys came back? You were all exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you were drinking.
Yep. And they were like, we're gonna debrief.
And Blisko, you fell asleep almost instantly, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you roll me, Blisko? Why don't you roll me a insight plus observation?
Okay.
This will be a D3.
I would like to use.
Where are we at on the
two?
Oh, we got a lot.
Three momentum gives me two more dice, correct?
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah. Three momentum. This is not my forte.
Hey, three successes. Very good. You hit the minimum that you needed. So when you hear that, when Valentino tells you that no one is there, you have a weird memory of waking up the night before and seeing something in the room with you, like many somethings in the room with you, but you kind of passed it off as maybe being one of your teammates walking about, and you rolled over and went back to sleep. Doc, you attempted to sleep on the Ottoman, which is not a very big, you know, Ottomans are not the size that they are today. It was a very tiny thing. So you slept very, your neck hurts today because you shouldn't have been sleeping that way. Why don't you roll me an observation and insight D3?
Let's see. Observation and insight. I'm good at these. Wah, wah. I will, however, need to burn a monumentum.
Okay.
The question becomes, do I need to burn two monumentums?
You would have to burn three.
I would have to burn three. Well, I'd have to burn three to get two extra dice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it, well, we don't have three.
Oh, you do have three.
I mean, we did.
I took one away.
Yeah.
Because you said you wanted one.
You could use all of them if you wanted.
Is it worth it?
What's your pool?
13.
I mean, 13's pretty good.
It's above average.
Yeah, I'd say let's just take one and take we'll one. Save the others for when, sure, when I don't know, something jumps out of the floorboards or whatever.
So this is a difficulty of 3, though?
Yep.
I don't have any, like, brain powery, brainy things. I don't have any observations.
That's okay. Just roll 3 dice and let's see how it comes out.
Yeah, you say that now, but you're also the guy who's like, hey, why don't you put that gasoline in the fire?
Two successes and a complication. Here's what you remember. You were laying on your right side with your head on the ottoman, and it was hurting really a lot. So your complication is you got a crick in your neck. So it's going to be hard for you to, your reaction time is going to be slowed, because if you turn too fast, your neck's going to hurt.
I was really hoping after that moonshine, it's like just like a straight up elephants on parade situation.
Here's what you remember, Doc. You remember big, bright lights, shining through the windows. And you were annoyed by it. And that's when you rolled over on your other side and went back to sleep.
Does anybody else remember bright lights in the night?
What do you remember there, Blisko?
Dark shapes. I thought someone was wandering around.
Wait, Dutch, what? you were drinking pretty heavy.
Was I? Yes.
Yes, you were.
I had some.
Yes. How about you roll, if you'd like, observation and insight, D3.
Okay. I'm not putting anything into this.
Okay.
But let's see if I luck out. Nope.
0 successes.
Double you have 13s.
The minute that Blisko says, I remember dark shapes or bodies or whatever, your skin starts to crawl. Like you feel like you remember something like that, but you couldn't move.
Shut up, Blisko. Sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry. I apologize for that.
Okay.
I think maybe there was something here.
What do you mean?
So, Doc, you remember seeing lights?
I do.
And, Blisko, you remember seeing shapes moving around?
Yeah.
I think our agents got abducted by aliens.
Somebody took them for sure.
I'll go back and get into their rooms.
Yeah, there's clothes scattered all over the floor. The bed is a mess.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking for
Blake's room.
Yeah, if there are like pants or holsters or anything, I'm looking for like a wallet, keys.
Yeah, sure enough, there is a you find Agent Jones's badge. It has fallen underneath one of the chairs that are in the room. And then you are able to find what else were you looking for?
Guns, keys, wallets, things that people wouldn't leave behind.
Yeah, the only thing you find the keys, but you don't find anything else besides the badge.
Okay, and this is Jones's badge.
This is Jones's badge. Yeah, Fred Jones's badge.
Okay. I'll basically after I like fish it out from under the chair, I'll show it to anybody who like followed me over here. I mean, like, what do you think the odds are that Captain Barber Pole left his batch here?
Slim and none, and Slim done left town.
Yeah, they're he at least was way too
uptight.
Yeah, there's no way he's gonna go out.
Yeah.
Okay. What do we need to do? We need to... So aliens were here, and they didn't take us. And they didn't seem... And, like, we still have the mask, which is the only... Well, the mask and the book, which are the only rhyme objects that we're carrying, right?
I believe so, yeah. I think the rest are in France.
Yeah. So if they were related to our whole fascist problem, then for certain they would have taken us and taken our stuff. So this has to something to do with the FBI and their investigation. So we should probably help them, but also we have our own world-ending problems to deal with.
Yeah. Should we, like, call the corporal and see if there's, like, a specific division for this kind of thing?
I think we're the division.
I guess.
I feel like we've got to do something.
Okay. No, you're right. You're right, because, I mean, we can try and call the Bureau and try to get someone else out here, but who knows how long that's going to take. And I'm not saying we shouldn't call them. I'm just saying.
We're here.
Yeah, we're already here. And somewhat equipped to deal with strange phenomena.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, you know, as equipped as we've ever been. Yeah. 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 Ill-equipped is slightly better than not equipped at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seems thematically appropriate, if nothing else.
I guess. Okay. Who wants to take a drive to the lake?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think that mine shaft is going anywhere, so I guess we'll just do that after we deal with this part. But let's grab some chicken fried taters first. after lunchtime.
Sure. Dutch, what did you do with the book? The diary?
Dutch is going to leave it drying in the cabin.
Okay. All right. Where are you going and what are you taking? Are you gonna going to take the, you're going to go to the cafe or the, yeah, I'm sorry, the place that says food?
Yeah. Going to the food cafe first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Probably gonna pack up all relevant guns and ammo and leave them in the truck.
You're gonna take the agent's truck?
If we're going up to the lake, we probably should, right? Okay.
All right. Sure. All right. So you load everything up that you think you need into the truck. And as you're driving over to the food cafe, walking down the roadway there is one Sissy Whitmore. It's cold outside.
Is she just wandering? Does she seem like she's going somewhere?
Yeah. Looks like she's got a purpose.
I'll wave to her.
And she waves at you. Do you slow down to talk to her or you just wave as you drive?
Sure. I'll slow down and then, or I guess probably Blisco's driving. Yeah. So yeah, if he brings around the passenger, if she's on the passenger side, then I'll talk to her.
Okay. You roll down the window and Sissy comes over. Well, howdy, y'all.
Howdy.
It's good to see you again. Hey. And she looks at you, Valentino. Hi, Valentino.
Hey, what you doing about town?
I'm just done with school, so I was going to walk on home.
Fair enough.
Okay. Well, be careful.
I'm always careful.
Yeah, I hear you guys have bars up here.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about them.
Okay, well, you're the local.
What I done here is you got to worry about them snakes.
Oh, that's right.
Where are you all headed to?
We were going to go to the lake.
Oh, really? You're going to go check out them? And she looks around. Them aliens?
Yeah, finally, you know, our curiosity is getting the better of us. So we're going to go see if we see a little green man.
Ooh, I do love me a mystery. I've been reading the Nancy Drew. You know her?
Yes, I do.
Oh, I think I could solve a mystery like a Nancy Drew.
Okay, well, I wouldn't want your
maybe,
pa to
maybe
worry
I can
about
come
you.
With you. Oh, well, Pa doesn't worry about me. He knows I can take care of myself.
They're not expecting you back home?
Oh, it's like a 2.5-hour walk.
I, like, look back in the truck. I'm like, temperature check on taking a weird local?
Do we got room back here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's a pickup bed truck. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like
thing to do.
It seems like it would be dangerous, but also she's we need to like figure out a word for it, and Dutch like pretends to adjust his like glasses that he doesn't have, and he's like, she's tied to the mythos.
What's say, fellas? You gonna let me come along? I want to find me some aliens.
Yeah, get in.
Hot darn.
And she vaults over the truck into the truck bed from the side in surprising nimbleness and ease. Maybe right. Almost too nimble and ease.
I'm going to go pick up some.
And she hunkers down next to you, Valentino, and wraps, takes part of your blanket and wraps around her, too.
Hi.
Hi there.
I'm going to run in and pick up some chicken fried sandwiches for the road.
All right. It takes a couple of minutes. You come out with plenty of chicken fried sandwiches. One thing that you did notice that when you were in the food place, first of all, Mr. Morrow did not have any good looks to give to you when he first spotted you. The second thing is there appear to be a few miners, for whatever reason, who are sitting around in the cafe. I guess they have time to come back. Maybe they're working in one of the closer mines to eat the food. And then you see a couple of fellas that are not caked up with coal dust, but they look like miners, and they look like they're drunk at noon.
Ah, the foremen.
Maybe.
Do miners wear any sort of insignia?
Their overalls, their coveralls, and their jackets, at least their jackets would have like Underhill Mining on them.
Okay. But I can't tell like a level 8 miner from a level 3 miner.
They kind of all look alike.
Yeah.
You got to look out for the miner 49ers. Those are the
What about the helmets? Do the guys that are not caked up have like nicer helmets? I'm guessing they probably like set them down somewhere.
They look like they're wearing just regular like fedora hats, just regular hats snap brim caps and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Interesting.
But a couple of them, the two of them that you see do kind of look like they're a little inebriated.
Well, if they're drunk and they're having a good time, I'll just keep an ear out to see what they're saying.
Yeah, they seem very quiet, and the other miners seem to give them a little bit of distance, almost like, maybe why don't you roll me an insight, and what would it be? Observation and insight, I guess. Or no, reason and observation. We'll do a D1 on this.
Okay.
One success. The dirty miners seem kind of jealous and standoffish against the cleaned up drunk miners.
Mm-hmm.
So those two groups aren't talking.
Yeah. Dutch's immediate assessment of it is that those guys probably have some modicum of authority, which means they don't need to go into the mines.
Okay.
Or what else does he know mining things operations have, like medics, right?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
but
foreman's medics. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine that these guys don't like the doctor.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah,
or whoever. So these guys are either their bosses or people that are like tangentially attached to the mine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good observation. Cora comes out with your chicken fried sandwiches. These are good news. And they're wrapped in wax paper. And she's also slides you a thermos of coffee.
Oh, thank you so much.
This is on the house. Don't tell my husband that I'm taking it out of that money you gave him for the truck.
All right. I really appreciate it.
Sure thing, hon.
I'll head back to the car. Get in. Hand everybody a sandwich. And basically, I guess, pass around the thermos because we don't really have like to-go cups haven't been invented yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Once we get going, Dutch will bring up and be like, hey, there's some like guys over there that are dressed like the other miners, but they're really clean. I don't know enough about mines. Do you know who those guys are?
Are you talking to Blisco, who's the only one with you?
I'm just throwing it out there. I guess, okay. Is Blisco the only one in the cab?
Yeah, because everybody else is in the back. This is a two-seater.
So, the back doesn't open, right? Like, there's no...
No, it's a flat piece of glass.
Okay. All right, so yeah, then I'll ask Blisco.
Would I need to make any sort of roll to make same similar assessment that Dutch has already made?
I would probably say sure. Insight knowledge checks are just not a thing here.
Well,
I guess academia, I guess, would be a knowledge thing.
Like, yeah, it's like reason, like insight reason. Is to notice things. Reason is to like think of things.
Yeah, why but don't yeah, you roll there isn't plus like academia D1.
Okay. Question.
Sure.
Or more requests. Is there any way I could apply one of my other skills to this in my experience of dealing with this sort of person and the fact that I would be the messy one constantly in what my chosen profession is?
What would you be talking into?
Best case scenario would be talking into reason and vehicles, being that, you know, I'm working on the vehicles. I'm the dirty one. The other one would be engineering.
Not on either one of those.
Boo.
Sorry.
Yeah, I got a success.
All right, cool. Yeah, you remember that on the farm or on the farms that you have dealt with growing up, that there is a hierarchy of positions. And so you've got the rough farmhands. They're the ones that are, you know, feeding the cows and slopping and doing all the heavy grunt work. And then you have the managers who also help out and do a lot of sweaty stuff, but they don't get as grungy as the regular farmhand. And then you have, for lack of a better word, the overseer. And that one or those are the ones that are very knowledgeable about how the system works. And oftentimes they've taken advantage of the situation so that they don't have to do much work. And these are the type of people that you remember growing up in the cornfields of Nebraska. These are the ones that sit on top of the horses and kind of tell people what to do. And most of the time they're just sitting on their horses watching everyone labor.
I mean, usually the cleaner ones are the ones doing the less work.
Yeah, so they're like in charge, right?
The ones telling the others what to do, yeah.
Okay.
There's a banging on the window behind you. It's Sissy.
You don't know where you're supposed to be going.
We were going to go this way, but is there a shorter way?
Yeah, there's a shortcut. You turn up here on the left.
All right. Get in here and navigate.
And she crawls up off the side of the truck and knocks on the window on the passenger side. Roll down that window.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. I'll roll down the window and help her in.
And then she just pops right in and across your lap, gives you a smile as she's doing it, and then plops right in the middle of the bench seat between the two of you.
Ah, kids. Roll the window back up.
I'm almost
cold.
I'm almost 17. I'm not a kid.
You're right.
So what you looking for besides aliens? Something else, I'm sure, right?
Well, there is a couple of agents. You know, the ones that you're dead.
Revenuers?
They're not revenuers. And that's kind of the thing, is that we don't know what their involvement is. But yeah, we're basically looking for two people. We're looking for a man with black hair and a lady with, like, what was it, like a reddish blonde hair or just blonde?
Red hair, yeah.
Yeah, with red hair.
I don't think I've seen any of them.
Yeah, so, but just keep an eye out, see if you spot them.
But if there's missing, you talked to the sheriff already, right?
We haven't.
Who you supposed to go to when someone turns up missing?
You're right. You should go to the police when someone turns up missing. But if they're just over at the lake and they didn't tell us, then they're not missing. So we're going to go check out that area first. And then if they're not there, we'll tell the sheriff.
Oh, okay. Sound good. Oh, turn right here. And so eventually, with Sissy's directions, you eventually make it to the lake. Critical Hit Punch Hall Nazis is a production of Major Spoilers Entertainment and was produced and edited by me, Steven Schleicher. If you would like to get a behind-the-scenes making of this episode, be sure to check out the GM Roundtable Octoon Cthulhu Edition at our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers. Each week I discuss my plans for the upcoming game session, and Dr. Brad Will is there to share his reactions and advice on how to be a better game master. I will warn you, though, there are spoilers galore in every installment of the GM Roundtable Octoon Cthulhu Edition. So, if you don't like spoilers and don't want to know what I am planning next, don't listen to these episodes. Though, I will say, if you do listen, you'll be able to see how and where the players throw a wrench into my plans, and you're also going to have greater insight into the world that's being built into this campaign. Finally, we want you to record yourself doing your best on Critical Hit and send it to us at podcast@majorspoilers.com. And your voice will join the growing chorus of fans in upcoming episodes as well. Thank you again for listening this week, and here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2024 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.